Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Praying Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Vinaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nomine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvasesu Sundarati Paskatyade Satarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sahagana, Raghunatham, Vitamstam, Sajivam, Sadvoitam, Sadvadutam, Parijana, Sahita, Krishna, Chaitanya, Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna, Padam, Sahagana, Lalita, Shri Vishakam, Vitamstha. Vanchikapa, Chubhishcha, Kipasindhviyeva, Chaptitanam, Pavanevya, Vaishnava, Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. December 19th, 2019, in Chennai, India. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2. Maharaj Nimai meets the nine Yogendras, and we're doing text 39 again because Nirutama Prabhu just did half the purport yesterday. We're doing the same verse in the second half of the purport. Shrinvan Subhadrani Ratangapanir Janmani Karmani Chayani Loke Gitani Namani Tadartakani Gayan Vilajyo Vichareda Sangha. To really notice the poetry in this verse, and we're thinking about how these personalities are just speaking this spontaneously. You know, when we're speaking, we don't usually speak in poetry, but look at this. We have Bhadrani, Janmani, Karmani, Yani, Gitani, Namani, Artakani. So it's the beautiful literary ornaments that are there in this poetry of the Bhagavatam. So please chant. Shrinvan. Hearing. Subhadrani. All auspicious. Rakta Anga Panhe. Of the Supreme Lord who holds a chariot wheel in his hand. In his pastime of fighting with Grandfather Bhishma. Janmani, the appearances. Karmani, activities. Yani, which, Loke, in this world. Gitani, are chanted. Namani, names. Tat Artakani, signifying these appearances and activities. Gayan, singing. Vilajjaha, free from embarrassment. Vicharet, one should wonder. Asangaha, without material association. So can anyone tell me what this verse means without looking at the translation?
One should give up all attachments.
Yes.
And then roam around.
And roam around.
Freely, like you know.
Free. About, and what should you do when you're roaming around? Gayan.
Gayan, you should sing.
You should be singing. And you should be singing what? The Gitani, the?
Yeah. Namani.
The songs. Gitani, the songs. And what songs should you be singing?
Names of Krishna.
Names, okay. What else? Janmani.
Birth activities.
Birth activities, right? And you should also be Shrinvan. Right, you can't sing if you haven't heard about them. And which one should you be singing about as you wander around free from attachment? Right, we have the Ratanga Paneer. We have a particular pastime with the chariot wheel, right? And then Chayani Loke means what? In this world, what the people in your world know about. Okay, translation. An intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear. Now, where did that come from? That's not here. Where did that come from?
Previous.
Should give up all attachment to material objects, such as wife, family, and nation. Where did that come from?
Asanga.
But does it say wife, family, nation? No. And should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Where do we get salvation of the conditioned souls? I think that's maybe implied by the Subhadrani, but it's not specifically stated. Thus, the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. So we're going to start from the middle of the purport. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, everybody can say this together if you know this verse. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tvaktvam deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. And if you know Prabhupada's translation, we can say that together too. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Why is this verse quoted in this purport? Yes, we have Janmani, Karmani, and we have the Subhadrani. They are the auspicious, right? So here, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Subhadrani Divya. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has stated that throughout the world the Supreme Lord is known by many names, some of them expressed in vernacular language. You know what vernacular means? The local language. So there's some name of God in Tamil, right, in Bengali, in English, in Spanish, so forth. But any name used to indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, beyond the influence of material nature, can be accepted as a holy name according to this verse that is indicated by the word Loke. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying what? He's saying the word Loke means what?
The local,
yes. And any Loke means a planet or people, that any name that local people use to refer to who is one without a second, one God. So if it's a name you're using to refer to the deity of the local river or some politician, or that doesn't count. But if it's a local name used for the one without a second, that counts. That's a holy name. One should not misinterpret the word vicharet, one should wander, to mean that while chanting the holy names of Krishna, one may go anywhere or engage in any activity without discrimination. Therefore it is said, vicharet asangaha. One may wander freely, but at the same time one must strictly avoid the association of those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness or those who are engaged in sinful life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Asat Sangha Tyaga e Vaishnava Achara, Majja 22:87. A Vaishnava is known by his complete avoidance of all mundane association. If in the course of traveling and chanting the glories of the Lord, a Vaishnava preacher finds a submissive non-devotee who is willing to hear about Krishna, the preacher will always give his merciful association to such a person. But a Vaishnava should strictly avoid those who are not interested in hearing about Krishna. We have to think about for a moment, what does that mean? According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, those who do not engage in hearing the astonishing pastimes and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who do not relish the Lord's pastimes, are simply executing mundane, illusory activities or indulging in false materialistic renunciation. Frustrated living entities sometimes take to dry impersonalism and avoid the descriptions of the Supreme Lord's eternal name, form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes. Can all of you follow my English? Am I slow enough? Can you follow? No. You don't know English. Is there someone who can translate? We have someone here who doesn't know English. Can you translate? Bengali. Oh, Bengali. Do we have anybody who speaks Bengali? And still you are sitting without understanding. I would not do that. They're so devoted. But if one gains the association of a pure devotee, one gives up the path of dry speculative argument and becomes situated on the actual Vedic path of devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that the word dvaita, or duality, is the word dvaita here in this verse? So what is this about? It's previous verses. So he's pulling from commentary on some previous verses for this verse. Expresses the false understanding. Now please, if you understand English, please listen very carefully, because this is an extremely important point, and I want to ask you if you know where in the Bhagavatam this point is mentioned by the Lord himself. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that the word dvaita, or duality, expresses the false understanding that some object has a substantial existence independent of Krishna. So he's defining duality as meaning something has no relationship with Krishna. Thank you for staying. Thank you so much. May Krishna bless you. May Prabhupada bless you. Nice to have you here. Hare Krishna. Huh?
They can't understand.
No, I'm sorry. I don't speak. No Bangla. Sorry. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're wonderful. So where in the Bhagavatam, and you are translating for this devotee in what, Tamil? All the rest of you understand English? Everybody else is okay? You understand?
I'm Tamil.
This gentleman, do you understand English? No, definitely not. What do you speak? Huh? Also Bengali. Do you know Hindi? Hindi? Can you speak Hindi? Would you be willing to sit here? Or some person here can translate in Hindi for some of the men? Can you translate in Hindi for him? He doesn't want to. No, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. Are you willing to have him sit here? Is that all right? Can you do a simultaneous? Okay, probably you should move back a little, so you're. Otherwise these men have to hear you from behind your head, and that's a little different. So let's go in the back. Yeah, that's good. If people do not learn, you haven't taught anything. So if I... You sit a little closer. She cannot talk that loudly. Yes, there you go. Okay. What about you? You don't speak English. What do you speak? Huh? Telugu. You speak Telugu, you said. Tamil also? Anybody can translate from Tamil? Okay. Come up here then. Is everybody now covered? These people behind you, they're also for Tamil? The two gentlemen behind you, what about them? English is okay? You have English? Good. So, what is the verse in the Bhagavatam, very important verse, that is saying the same thing that Bhaktisiddhanta is saying?
Bhagavan Swayam. What is that word? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swaram.
Very nice, but not what I'm looking for. Very nice, but thank you. Very important. Okay, he's saying here, duality means if you falsely think something has no relation with Krishna. That is duality. Where is this in the Bhagavatam? Yes. That is also true, but I'm looking for something very essential in the Bhagavatam. This is important. So I'm with the Shastric Advisory Council to the GBC, and we are working on a system of how we understand the Shastra. One way that we understand is we look at the Siddhanta. What is the essential principle? So where in Bhagavatam is the most basic explanation of our Siddhanta given? It actually is included there, yes, but where is it? No, it's not eighth. Huh?
Very first verse.
Well, you could say, actually, yes, in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, that truth is distinguished from illusion.
And also the Chaturshloki.
Thank you. Thank you. The Chaturshloki said. So, Rao, maybe you can give this gentleman some maha sweet after the class. Very nice. In the Chaturshloki, the four essential verses of the Bhagavatam. My dear friends, this is so important. The Bhagavatam is our main shastra, and this is our main verses. Everything else we understand in relation to these four verses. And Krishna says, please listen very carefully, whatever appears to be of value, if you find it, it won't have time. Better just listen, because I have the verse memorized. Whatever appears to be of value, if it is not in relationship to me, Krishna is saying, it has no reality. Are you able to do simultaneous, or are you doing piece, piece? Piece, piece. Can you do simultaneous? And can you do simultaneous, or you're also doing piece, piece? You're doing simultaneous. You can try. Whatever appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection that appears to be in darkness. Okay, we're just going to finish this purport. The Mayavad conception of Advaita, which lacks any spiritual distinctions, is simply another manifestation of the mind's function of acceptance and rejection. That is a very deep philosophical statement. I would love to. The Mayavada conception of Advaita, which lacks any spiritual distinctions, is simply another manifestation of the mind's function of acceptance and rejection. The eternal appearance and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never contradict the concept of Advaita Gyan, or transcendental knowledge beyond duality. Shrinvam subhadrani ratangapanir janmani karmani chayani loke gitani namani tarartikani gayan vilajyo vicharet asangaha. We are to wander without embarrassment, singing the name, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, and not having material association. wander without embarrassment, singing about the Lord without material association. To wander without embarrassment, singing about the Lord and giving up material association. So what is this wander? Does this mean that all the pujaris should leave their service and go wandering? Where is the pujari for Radha Krishna? Oh, he is wandering. Where is the cook? He has gone wandering. We are all wandering in this world from one body to another. Even in this life, dehi no smin yata dehe komaram yovanam dirat ta dehantara praptir diras tratra namuyate. We were all in a baby body, then bigger body, bigger body. We are all wandering. Brahmanya, what is it? Hey, Konya Bhagavan Jeev. The Lord Chaitanya says, while we are wandering, a fortunate person will hear about Krishna. So this is not just an instruction to be a wandering sannyasi like Madhavendra Puri. Of course, even Madhavendra Puri stopped wandering when Gopal came to him in Vrindavan, and then he established a temple. But it's not saying that everybody should be traveling constantly. But while we are wandering, while we go from our home to the temple, from the temple to our home, while we are walking around the temple, when we go to our job, even in our home, when we go from our sleeping room to the toilet room, to the kitchen, to the front door, to our bike, while we are wandering. So generally, we are embarrassed in this world. This body is very embarrassing. Yes? On the airplane coming here, I was sitting next to some woman who kept putting up her arms next to me. And every time she did, I was like, oof. It's an embarrassing body. In the heavenly planets, they don't need to do laundry. You know this? No laundry is necessary. When Sita and Ram were in the forest, so Anasuya gave Sita some clothes like those of the demigods. They didn't need to be washed. That would be nice, right? We are trying to imitate that now with these fabrics that are stain resistant and wrinkle resistant and things like this. You know, our clothes get dirty and smelly. Our bodies get very dirty and smelly. We have to use the toilet. We get sick. I remember many years ago I was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital getting some treatment, and the medicine they gave me, it made me vomit. And right in front of the doctor I was vomiting, and I looked at her and I said, I feel so embarrassed. Oh, this body is very embarrassing. Yes? But here we are told, do not be embarrassed. How can we do something without embarrassment? Wouldn't that be nice to be free from being embarrassed by this body? So we have a positive and a negative. Asanga, we have the asanga, and then we have the gayan. So we're going to look first at the negative. So asanga, don't have any association. Literally is what it means. And again, we could think about Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he traveled alone because he was thinking, it's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if I have any companion, they may talk to me about mundane things. And the examples given also in the 11th canto about the woman who entertained some guests, but she was very poor. She didn't have any servant. So she had to cook herself without the help of a servant. But she thought, when I am cooking, My bangles will make noise, and the guests will know that I am doing all the cooking. So she took off all her bangles except one on one hand and one on the other. And the meaning, as soon as you have two bangles, they are making noise. Sometimes it's explained the gopis have earrings that hit each other. That means they must have more than one earring in one ear, because the earring from this ear is not going to hit the earring from this ear. So we might think a sangha means like that. I must be alone, not talk to anybody, not associate with anybody. And we see in every religious tradition, there are people who do this. Like we had Madhavendra Puri do this in our tradition, at least for some time. Right? In the Christian tradition, there are these monks who take vows of silence. But of course, even they, once a week they talk. You know that? So for like 2-3 hours a week, they go out of the monastery and they play sports. And they speak to each other, because they found if they are silent 100% of the time, they go crazy. It doesn't work. But anyway, in every tradition, there's this concept, no association. I was reading the autobiography of one Carmelite Christian nun, how when her sisters, her biological sisters, also became nuns, she would not speak to them in the convent, because she thought, then we will talk about our family. So we might think like that. But then it will be very difficult, right? Or here it's saying, don't talk to materialistic people. How will we live? It will be very difficult in 2019 to live. I don't know how we will do it. And how will we preach Krishna consciousness? But many devotees, so here they're saying, well, you can talk to a materialistic person if they're interested in Krishna. But this seems to suggest that nobody should work. That if you're really serious about Krishna consciousness, and many people think this way, even someone I was speaking to this morning, I think, thinks this way, maybe. So people think that if you're really Krishna conscious, you will not work, you will not make money, you will not have a job, you will not have a business, you will not have here a wife, right? Or a husband. You will just simply stay in the ashram, and that way you will be a sangha. So this is very nice if we want to have the very, very small international mini society for monastic consciousness. But it will not work if we want a big society that will flood the world. Would we like all of the heads of all the countries of the world to be Krishna conscious? Would you like that or not? I hope that in my life, the President of the United States will be Krishna conscious. That would be very nice. Would we like the heads of all the businesses to be Krishna conscious? Monsanto, should the head of Monsanto be a devotee? That would be very nice. What about the heads of the universities? Do we want them to be Krishna conscious? The scientists? Doctors? The people running the schools for children? What about the sports figures? The soccer players? Cricket players? Artists? Musicians? Would we like them to be Krishna conscious? My dear friends, this means that some of us who are already Krishna conscious need to run governments and businesses and be the artists and musicians and the scientists and the professors in the world. So how can we do this with a sangha? What does this mean? So you're not going to like this. Where is the real bad association? Do you know?
In the mind.
in the mind. The real bad association is simply our own mind. And what is our asanga? Thinking I am something other than an eternal servant of Krishna. If I am thinking I am this, I am that, then I have some very bad sangha. And I can be in the temple. Prabhupada would say, you will not make more advancement in the temple. Thank you, Nityananda. You will not make more advancement in the temple if your mind is on another subject matter. So, if we are externally worshipping the Lord, but we're thinking, I am this material thing, I am that material thing. And it's not just the body, it's also the mind. We all have our stories about our life. This person has hurt me, this person has cheated me, this terrible thing happened, I did this great thing in life, I got this much money, I won this award. If we are identifying with those things, that is
samsara.
That is samsara. So we must give up those things. I am not a hero. I am not a survivor. I am not a victim. I am not the perpetrator. I am not any of those things. So then what will we do? Because we are all thinking about our life stories all the time. Am I correct? And the life stories of the people who've interacted with us. Family, friends, community. This is all we are thinking about all the time. I did this, I did that, my mother did this, my brother did that, my boss did this, my employee did that, this politician did this, this soccer player did that, I want to do this, I want to do that. Am I right or wrong? This we have to give up, so will we be just sunya, just nothing? I am just a spirit. I am the awareness, the spirit. I have nothing to do with this body and mind. That's boring very fast. I mean, it's a relief. You're like, huh. But it gets very boring. I am a spirit, I am a spirit, I am a spirit. What was the cricket score again? That man cheated me yesterday. So instead, now this is a very easy thing anybody can do. Instead, we sing the Gitani, the songs. Now you can literally sing, but speaking also. I don't know if Nimi was literally singing Bhadrani Karma. I don't know if he was literally singing or he was just speaking in poetry. And you can say, well, this will be very embarrassing to me because I will be at work and somebody will talk about something and I will start singing. Krishna picked up the chariot wheel and I will become very embarrassed. And then my co-workers will think I am bad association. They will think I have become crazy. So at least this can be done within the mind. At least the mind can be always singing without embarrassment. And when you are in good company, you can speak out loud. So here is the technique. Srila Prabhupada wrote the first purpose of ISKCON. Am I speaking slow enough? Slow enough? Slow enough? Good? points, okay? First purpose of ISKCON is to teach techniques of spiritual life. So here is a technique. Let us think of something that our mind thinks on that is materialistic, with our materialistic identity. Well, maybe we think, like you're telling me you're here visiting your parents and your wife's parents, right? Your family and your in-laws. And so we may think about our in-laws. Our mother-in-law, our father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. So if our mind is thinking about our in-laws, we can think, Krishna also has in-laws. How many sets of in-laws does Krishna have? 16,108 sets of in-laws. Ah! And they are not always easy in-laws. You know, after he kidnapped Rukmini, Rukmini wanted him to marry her. But it's explained in the Bhagavatam that her father, who's her father?
Father.
Bhishmaka. He wasn't so happy. He wanted his daughter to marry Krishna, but still he wasn't happy. I mean, look, he had made this whole wedding. I don't know how much money he spent. Probably at least a couple crores, you know, on all this wedding arrangement. And they didn't even have the wedding there, you know. Whole venue spoiled. Imagine this. Just imagine, you make this whole wedding arrangement and your daughter gets kidnapped right before the ceremony. Your son gets humiliated. So Bhishmak didn't want to come. It's explained in the Bhagavatam. Who convinced him to come to his daughter's wedding?
Balaram.
Balaram said, please come. And Rukmi almost got killed.
Yes,
Balaram again had to intervene. Yes? This was an in-law problem. And then Krishna had an in-law problem with this part of the family when his grandson got married also. Right? Rukmi was causing trouble in this chess game. Is this in case I get hungry while I'm speaking? It's to give to somebody. What am I supposed to do with this? Oh, thank you. Here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you. I was thinking about Rukmi and I forgot about the Chaturshloka. Balaram killed Rukmi at the wedding of Krishna's grandson. I have three married grandchildren, and I tell you, if somebody was killed at their wedding, I would not have been happy. I mean, already there was a little something, this relative doesn't like that relative, you know. But if you think, what about Rukmi? And that's not the only in-law problem Krishna had. He also had a problem with Satyabhama's family.
The father.
Right? That was a whole drama. The father has this jewel and he wants to keep it. And he accuses Krishna of being a murderer. Imagine marrying a girl whose father accused you of being a murderer and spread rumors about you all over your city. Imagine that. And then Satyajit, his wife's father, got murdered himself. So very soon after Krishna and Satyabhama got married. And then Krishna's devotee, Akura, was involved. It was a whole drama. So if we are dealing with our in-laws and our mind is going to do, I mean, what about Krishna's in-laws? Right? or what trouble Kunti went through with her in-laws. Yes, or maybe it's our own blood family. And we can think about Vidura with Duryodhan, Vibhishan with Ravana. And if we're enjoying being with our family, we can think of some wonderful thing in the Lord's family. Right? If we're thinking about some baby being born, we can think about how Krishna is being born. How Nandamarj is having this big festival. So much celebration. They were older parents, you know? They weren't young parents. They'd been wanting a child for a long time.
Almost had gray hair.
Yes. And Nanda was already a little fatty belly, yeah. Wasn't a young man anymore. With some gray in his beard. Big celebration that Krishna was born. So what else do we worry about? We worry about money, yeah? Everybody worries about money. They say no matter how much money you have, you always want 10% more. And we can think about how Yudhisthira was worried about money for his yajna. And Arjuna went and got this mountain, that's why he's called Dhananjaya. The brahmanas were given all this gold, and they said, it's too heavy. Imagine that. If someone gave you a whole truckload of gold, would you say, oh, too much trouble, leave it here? So the brahmanas, they said, too much trouble. And Arjuna went and collected that mountain. Yes? What else do we worry about?
Life and death.
How Devaki's babies all were killed in front of her. And then they were brought, they came back. What about if somebody's sick? What pastime could we think about? Bhishma. I think that's more injury. Okay, if we're injured or somebody's injured, we can meditate on Bhishma. And still he's speaking such first-class philosophy. What about sickness? The leper, Lord Chaitanya. The leper, and he had these open sores with bugs in them. And when they would fall out, he would feel sorry for the bugs. Where is their food? And he put them back. I don't feel sorry for my bugs. Right? If I'm sick, I take some medicine, kill all the virus, bacteria. But I can meditate on this great devotee who had compassion for the bugs. Sanatan Goswami also, he had a skin disease. He was in prison. Ah, in prison. If somebody is unjustly accusing you, has this happened to everybody? Somebody has accused us of something we did not do? We can meditate on Sanatana Goswami being in jail, Krishna being accused, of course, by Satyajit. Now, this is what happens. Please listen carefully because this is very wonderful. So your mind starts thinking about something in the world. Oh, I need to buy some clothes. Oh my goodness, my friend is having a baby. I need to go buy some clothes for them. What pastime can I think of that has to do with clothes? The washerman. What a wonderful pastime. And if you read, now watch what happens. So this washerman came, he is in Mathura, and Krishna asked him for the clothes. And he wouldn't give, and he said, you shouldn't ask for these clothes. I have experience, he says. We can wonder, what was his experience? Did it happen to him? He said, if you try to take the things from the government, you'll be arrested. So I don't want to give it to you. And then Krishna took his hand and did a karate chop and just... And Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says this washerman for many lifetimes had been doing tapasya to see God. So finally Krishna said, okay, you can see me. Now you can see me. Next step, do some service. No. Imagine someone is asking you for billions of lifetimes, can I see you? Imagine. You finally say, okay, here I am. Now what would you like to do? Nothing. If somebody invites you to your house, please come to my house. Where do you live? Oh, I live in Assam. Far away. So finally you go. I am here at your house. Okay. Can I come in, have some water? No. So you can see why Krishna went, shh. What happened? As soon as we start thinking about these pastimes, we start going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And how do we feel? How do we feel when we are talking about these pastimes? Very blissful, because they are Subhadrani. And what happens to our identification? Are we identifying, this is my family, this is my in-laws, this is my disease, this is my injury, this is my money problem? What happens to all of that? It just goes away. We may be embarrassed. I am not pure enough to think about Krishna's pastimes. Right now I will think about my families, my in-laws, this baby being born, this clothes I have to buy, this money I have to get. Later, when I am a great devotee, I will think about Krishna. Will that work? No. How will we become a great devotee? By thinking about Krishna. Without embarrassment. We cannot always speak like this. If you are at your work in the bank, you cannot always just say to everybody, oh, that is very nice shoes. You know, Krishna wears shoes when he's on the battlefield. But, you know, when he's in Vrindavan, he doesn't like to wear shoes because he tells his mother, if I wear shoes, the cows also have to wear shoes. So the people at the bank may look at you like, especially if you are not in India. Maybe in India you can do this, but at least in America, I don't think this will work. But at least in the mind, and when we are with other devotees, we can do this. There is one price. Shrinvan. If we don't hear about Krishna, we cannot do this. I cannot take my mind from my material identity to Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes if I don't hear about them. We've been talking about a few pastimes, so many more. You eat something, you're like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, remember that tribal lady in the Dandaka forest? She tasted every berry before she gave it to Ram. Everything. Why? Because as Bhaktisiddhanta is saying here, everything is related to Krishna. What is Maya? Seeing that something has no relation to Krishna. That is Maya. Anything from the chapter shloka of the Bhagavatam, again, anything that appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection that appears to be in darkness. Everything has a relationship to Krishna. Even you go down the street, somebody is killing a chicken. You can think, oh, Nrisingadev. He pulled out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said that he saw a man killing chickens and laughing, and he thought about Nrisingadev. Everything we see, everything we hear, everything. We think about everything. Some crazy politician we can remember comes up. Yeah? So, my dear friends, today as you wander from the temple room to Prasadam, to your home, maybe to your bed to take some rest, to your work, to your friends, to your family, as you wander, Vicharet, please give up all embarrassment. Do not identify with the body and the mind and the external activities of this life. As soon as our mind goes to them, immediately ask your mind, my dear mind, what is there in Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, any incarnation that this thing I am thinking about can remind me of? And then go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until all your material identity is forgotten, and then our life, Subhadra, will become not just Bhadra, but Subhadra. It will be full of the auspiciousness that all of us are seeking at every moment. I hope I was slow enough and simple enough English for everybody, and not so slow. I didn't see anybody falling asleep. Usually when you are very slow, people fall asleep. It's already 9 o'clock, but we could take one or two questions.
Thank you so much. Usually, when we are thinking, sometimes we, most of the time we will be thinking about these material problems. But also sometimes we may start thinking too much about how to solve problems in devotional life. Like if someone's a manager in a temple or something, so even when chanting, he may keep thinking, okay, today I need to do this, today I need to do that. And we forget about Krishna and we think about planning and all that.
Does Krishna have any management pastimes? Are there any management pastimes? Can someone think of management pastimes?
Yeah, the universe is coming and...
The whole universe! I was just hearing Prabhupada say this this morning in the prayers of personified Vedas. Yes. How is Krishna managing the universe? Sometimes it's a problem, you know. I mean, and Lord Brahma, he's thinking, okay, the earth just fell into the water. I don't know what to do about this. What should I do? And then he sneezes. Imagine if, not Purma Varaha, imagine if you solved your management problems by sneezing, you know? And then there was this little, came out of his nose, you know, how big was it? Very small. Imagine you sneeze and then you see this little bright being. What is that? And he starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he starts sinking. And his skin is the Vedic hymns. You can meditate on that while you're doing your management. I also might. I was just teaching a management seminar, actually, in Mayapur. Any other management pastimes? Yes? Do you know another management pastime? Any more management pastimes? Oh, Pandavas, Kauravas. That was a big management problem. That we could think about for the next 10,000 years, yeah? What about when the kings wanted to be rescued and Yudhisthira wanted to do the Rajasuya and how to deal with Jarasandhar? What about the management problem of just getting his whole family from Dwarka to Indraprastha for the Rajasuya? Imagine the logistics of that. You know, you've got 16,108 wives. Please don't try this, my friends. And they all had at least 10 children. That's a lot of family. And then they had people to do the laundry and to cook and to teach the children. They had to come. The children didn't get a big vacation from school, you know. Oh, we're going to Indraprastha, no school. No, the tutors also came. And then they must have had engineers because they had to cross rivers and things and they had to camp. And then while you're solving your ISKCON management problems, you meditate on that.
But then the problem also should get solved.
Some problems don't get solved. I'm sorry to inform you of this.
What did you say?
The problem may not get solved. Actually, what happens if you meditate on Krishna, then what does Krishna do? Krishna says, I don't know, are we, first you tell me, will you believe him or not? You're saying this in front of him. So are you going to believe him? You sure? Okay. He says, Machchitam magita pranam borayantas prasparam kathayantas kimam nityam tu shanti charam anti char. So you do that, then what will he do? He will do, what's the next verses? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam vidami bhuri yogam tam yenamam upayanti chay. Tesham evanukam partam aham agyana jamtam ha nasayam yatma bhavalsta jnana dhipena bhashvata. You know what happens when you think about Krishna? What does he do? He gives you what?
Intelligence.
Bhuri. And what does he take away?
Ignorance.
And your heart gets all lit up. Hasn't that happened to you?
Yes.
You think about Krishna and then you just know what to do. Have you had this experience? Sometimes. Then you need to think about Krishna more. And then it will be all the time. He says this. You can discuss with him if you think this is an impractical idea. So I invite you after the class that you can have a discussion and you can say, my dear Lord, I think this is very impractical verses. You said I just think of you and you will give me all the intelligence, but then how will I solve my material problems?
But some problems we are not able to solve, but we are thinking again.
Some problems we are not able to solve. That will always be the case. We are all going to die and none of us will solve that problem. 100%. Some problems are not solvable externally. Krishna could not stop the Kauravas and the Pandavas from the fight. Krishna could not solve that problem. Personally he went. Balaram saw Duryodhan and Bhima fighting. He gave them good advice. They did not listen. So see, as soon as you think, oh, I have this problem I cannot solve. I have this problem I cannot solve this problem. I cannot solve this problem. I am a failure. I am a bad person. Nobody will love me. I will get thrown out of the Hare Krishna movement. I will be sitting on the street a beggar because I cannot solve this problem. My whole life is finished. Balaram also had a problem he could not solve. Krishna had a problem he could not solve. Balaram just walked away. Then you start meditating on Balaram and start meditating on Bhima and start meditating on Duryodhan and how the Pandavas are silent and start going into that pastime and then you won't care anymore that you could not solve your problem. Yes? Did you have something? How can I think about Nrsingadev? Because these people killing these chickens, they are trying to enjoy a ghastly rasa. Prabhupada says this.
These people,
yeah, they are trying to, because everybody is always trying to enjoy. So they're trying to enjoy ghastly rasa. There is actually a ghastly rasa. Prabhupada says if you want to enjoy the ghastly rasa, you meditate on Nrsingadev. There's others also, of course. When Krishna and Balaram were fighting with Jarasandha and there was a river of blood and there were pieces of bodies in the river. Or I think it was with the fight with Shalva, it said the battlefield looked like the playground of Shiva. No, it wasn't there. It was when, maybe with Shalva or it may be with the destruction of Kashi by Sudarshan. One of those two. The battlefield looked like the playground of Lord Shiva. I think it was Shalva. So So when you, or you hear about, you know, there's some riots and there's police are coming and they're, what are you doing to the Muslims? What are you doing to the Hindus? And then you just think about, okay, the Shalva was coming and he was throwing things and, yes? You just practice. This is practice. It's called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means you have to practice. Abhyas yoga. You repeat. When the mind starts going to these things, practice taking it to Krishna. The first time it will feel a little awkward. The second time a little less awkward. The third time a little less awkward. By the time you have done this 5 or 6 times, you will have no more embarrassment and it will become natural. And you don't have to tell everybody. The other people can around you can be going, I don't know, the citizenship law and there's riots and there's just... And you're nodding your head and you're thinking, yeah, and Kartikeya was... Who was Kartikeya fighting with in that battle of Banasura? And Lord Shiva was fighting and it was like rain coming on a mountain. And Krishna dispatched his yawning weapon and Lord Shiva started to... And don't you think these are terrible, all these riots? Yeah, it was a terrible riot. Wow, and Lord Shiva started yawning. And yeah, it was really awful what's going on. Too bad that people were fighting. And then, you know, Banasura came and Krishna's cutting off his 1,000 arms. And then there was the Shivajwara and the Narayanajwara. And what should we do about all this political thing? Well, yeah, it's really a problem. We have to bring people to Krishna. It was nice prayers that Shivajwara was offering to that Narayanajwara. Okay? But for that one has to Shrinvan. One has to hear. You cannot think about the battle with Shalva. You cannot think about the kidnapping of Rukmini. You cannot think about the mountain of gold if you are simply hearing about the cricket matches. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.